All right, didn't these kids do a wonderful job? Now raise your hand in here if you want to see these kids go to heaven. You can, by volunteering in our children's ministry, you can help be a part of that. I'm not joking, I'm serious. I'm serious. So Don, right here, Don, raise your hand. And Aaron, you have a chance to make an eternal difference for these kids. And Jesus said, let the little children come to me. And we want to be a church that says, let the little children come to us. Amen? Amen. All right, thank you, thank you, thank you. A round of applause for them. Dawn's blood pressure has just went down. She was so afraid one of the kids was going to jump off. I was sure it was going to be my son's. I was ready for it. Hey, we've got a Connect card in the seat back in front of you. If you're with us today and you've got a prayer request or you're maybe one of our guests today, we've got a Connect card in the seat back in front of you. When the offering plates come by a little bit later in service, we'd love just to know that you were here. If you've got a prayer request, we'd love to pray for you. And we do that every week in our staff meeting. And then also, if you're one of our guests, we have a gift for you that we'd like to get in your hands, and it's in the back in the info center right after church, if you'll just take a moment and go there. And then also, if you have your phone on you today, if you've got your smartphone, if you're a Facebook person, check in on Facebook, let everyone know you're here. Talk about what the kids were doing, how great it was, and just let people know that you were here today. All right, so we're going to talk about friendships. As Kevin said earlier, we're kind of in this series called Picture Perfect, and Eric and Jeremy can go ahead and clear everything, clear all, and we're going to get to the Picture Perfect in just a second. Go ahead. And so we're going to be talking about Picture Perfect, this whole idea, this picture of that our marriage is oftentimes not picture perfect. We talked about last week with our parenting is oftentimes not picture perfect, but you look at a picture like this and you start to think in your mind that, can my life just be like that? Can my life just be like the photo? Because what happens is you capture great pictures of your family, but no one tells you about the 20 minutes before where you were having to chase down your kids to put your shirt on them, you know? Or no one tells you about the argument you had on the way there or whatever it is. And the same thing goes for friendship. You know, you can look at friends and then we use this term called BFF. That's my BFF. That's my best friend forever. If you don't know that, I taught you something today. You can walk away here. And if you can go out into town and you can use the slang term of BFF, and then people will think, wow, you're really hip. You're cool. You're learning stuff. And Jim, so there you go. You can take that with you. You've got something. But you talk about your best friends, and you think about your best friends, and there's moments that you see pictures on the internet and pictures where people are together and it's just like they're best friends. The picture looks perfect. They're having a great time out to eat. They're having a great time somewhere. And it seems like everything in their friendship is just great. And you think, I wish I just had friends like that. I wish I just had friends like that. And some of us in here maybe have friends like that. But then these friends who we take pictures with, these friends that we socialize with, yeah, they have the same thing in common. Maybe they like the same sports team. Maybe they're all UK fans, okay? And that's good, you know. That's good if they agree with that. Or maybe they have the same baseball team. Or maybe they like to eat at the same restaurants. And when we start thinking, oh, those things are good. And so we put those on a platform. We say, okay, our friends are people we enjoy to be around. But I'm telling you, godly friendship, and that's what we're going to talk about today, godly friendship is more than just hanging out with somebody. Godly friendship is more of just having just who your favorite team is in common or where you like to eat or where you like to shop or what do you like to do. Godly friendship is more than that. And so I want to ask a couple questions this morning. Do you feel like you have godly friendships in your life? Do you know what a godly friendship is? And are there some of you in here that maybe need to make some changes with the friendships you have and the way you may treat others, or the way that you're letting others treat you, because it is not healthy for your spiritual walk, your physical walk, maybe even your mental walk? And so maybe you're like this man. I heard a story about a man who dialed a wrong number and he got the following recording. He said, "I'm not available right now, but I thank you for caring enough to call. I'm making some changes in my life. Please leave a message after the beep. If I do not return your call, you are one of the changes I'm making." If I don't return your call this week, it's because I'm on vacation. It's not because I don't love you. But I believe godly friendships are very important. And one of the greatest godly friendships, I think, is in the Old Testament. There's a story about two friends, David and Jonathan. David and Jonathan have a great friendship, a very unique friendship, a display of a biblical friendship. They care for one another in true friendship. And I think we see a godly example of what friendship is from them. And the first point we go to is, we're going to go to this, is that godly friends tell the truth. Godly friends tell the truth. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 12. "And Jonathan said to David, 'The Lord, the God of Israel, be witnesses. When I sounded out my father about this time tomorrow or the third day, behold, if he is well disposed toward David, shall I not then send and disclose it to you?'" And so what's going on here in this passage is that Jonathan is the king, is the son of the king. His father is Saul, who is the king of Israel. And David is this mighty warrior. David has been the man who has killed Goliath. David has been the man who has been on errands for Saul and has taken and won these battles. David is this man who has played the harp beautifully, and even to the point where Saul got annoyed by how David was playing, and he tried to kill him by throwing a spear at him. But he couldn't do it. And it says over and over and over about David, "And the Lord was with him." And Jonathan is the friend of David. And when he hears about what David is doing and how he is following the Lord, there's this friendship that develops because of David's godly character. And so there's a moment that comes here in the scripture where Jonathan has to choose: do I follow what my father's trying to do, which is evil and deceitful, or do I protect my friend David? And he tells David the truth that, listen, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to be after you. See, David here has Jonathan who shares what's going to happen, what's going on. He doesn't want harm to come to him. He understands that the Lord is with David and that Saul has had the Lord leave him, it says. And Saul has tried to kill him. He's tried this before. He's trying again. But Jonathan has to tell David the truth, knowing that it's going to cause a problem between his father and him. Saul is actually going to curse him and wish that he has never been born. There are some language in the scriptures when Saul describes his son after this that is not very pretty. And the way he describes Jonathan and the way he describes his mother. But Jonathan is a godly friend. And so how can we be godly friends that tell the truth? Well, I think if we want to do that, there's a couple things we need to do. Here's the first one, is we need to give counsel. We need to give counsel as godly friends. Proverbs 27:9 says, "Oil and perfume make the heart glad, and sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel." Now, the counsel I'm talking about is just not how you feel about something or what's your opinion, but I'm talking about counsel that's wise and biblical counseling that helps people follow after God. There's a phrase I often say when I don't know the answer or I'm not ready to give an answer to someone seeking my counsel. I'll simply say this phrase, and the staff knows this: pray about it. Pray about it. Because honestly, truthfully, God's going to give the best wisdom. But the Bible says to ask God for wisdom, and the Bible says that he will give it generously. So my counsel is always going to be biblical. So when I have a friend who's going through a relationship issue, I say, let's open the word of God. When I have a friend who are facing financial issues, let's go to the word of God and say, there are plenty of people who will tell you what you want to hear. You need friends in your life who are going to tell you what you need to know. Okay? Let me say that again. Our culture, the people around you, there are plenty of people in this world who are going to tell you what you need to hear, but you need people in your life who are going to tell you what you need to know or what you want to hear, but there's people that you need in your life to tell you what you need to know. And here's the ultimate thing. Here's the ultimate thing. My job as a preacher, of this church, can't be to please people. My job has to be to please God. And I have to preach the word. And I preach the word in love and truth because I care. And there's hard scriptures that I read. There's hard things that I struggle through. And I know, and trust me, every week I'm working through this. It's a process. And I'm not trying to be mean about it. And I don't want you to think anyone's being attacked or anything like that. I didn't write this sermon with one person in mind. If there's any person I've wrote this with in mind, it would be myself. So the second part is you have to have accountability. Now, why this is important, if you want to give counsel, counsel is only really going to be taken the right way if you have some type of accountability with one another, that there's a trust factor there. Proverbs 27:5 says, better is open rebuke than hidden love. True friendship should change us. I have a meeting every month with my accountability partner. I want you to know this. That meeting is not just for me, but it is for you. It is for this church. It is so that my life is trying to aim towards focusing on Christ. Because listen, there's preachers who are quitting every day. There's preachers who are giving up. There's preachers who are overwhelmed. There's preachers who are tired. There's preachers who've been beaten down. There's preachers who are tempted just as you're tempted. And so every month I meet my friend and he hits me. Not physically. Maybe he needs to sometimes. But he hits me with the word of God. And he always asks, how are you treating your wife? What kind of father are you being? Are you praying for people? Are you praying for the people you don't like? Because Jesus said, love your enemies. Are you keeping your eyes pure? See, true friendship should change us. You should have someone in your life that can tell you to your face, you need to repent. You need to change your attitude. You need to stop looking at those websites. You need to quit your gossip. You need to stop that complaining. You need to stop that arguing. You need people in your life who are going to do that. You need that person. That's not just for me, but you need that. To accept that counsel, you're going to have that accountability to say, listen, I'm going to submit. We're going to come together as friends, and under the Lord, I want you to help me to follow Jesus, to follow the Lord. And this can be great to have counsel, and it can be great to have accountability, but none of it will matter if there's no character behind it. And so the third point is to show character. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 says this, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. We were designed to have friendships, godly friendships. Throughout this story, you see the character of Jonathan and David, and they make pledges to one another to protect each other, to serve one another, to look after their families. David makes this amazing promise to Jonathan to protect his family after he's dead. And David not only honors his family, but he takes him into his home, and he shows him the love that a king deserves. And why is that? Because that was David's character and he had love for his friend. So your friends will notice your character that you either have it or you don't. And we need to be godly friends who are helping one another. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron. And so one man sharpens another. And that's a great thing. And our men have been doing a great job and stepping up. But I want to talk about something else that may have been on the sideline for just a moment. But I want you to understand that's great what the men are doing. But the first Sunday at 3 o'clock on March 5th, the ladies' circle is going to meet, right? And they're trying to disciple one another, and they want to disciple one another. And that's what needs to be happening, is that the men need to be discipling, the older men need to be discipling the younger men. The older women need to be discipling the younger women. We need to have that. There needs to be godly friendships at the center of our church. Amen? And so if you have a godly friendship, you're going to have someone who's going to tell you the truth. They're going to tell you the truth. But the second thing is this, that godly friends stand with you. Jonathan and David had a wonderful friendship where truth could be exchanged. But Jonathan also stood with David. 1 Samuel chapter 19, verse 1 through 3. And Saul spoke to Jonathan, his son, and to all his servants that they should kill him, kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, Saul, my father seeks to kill you. Therefore, be on your guard in the morning. Stay in a secret place and hide yourself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where you are. And I will speak to my father about you. And if I learn anything, I will tell you. Jonathan stands beside David. He cares about David. He loves David. And he had to, because there wasn't too many other people who were doing that. And so for us to be friends, godly friends who stand with you, we need to do it when others don't. That's the first thing we need to go. If we're going to be godly friends who stand with you, then when others don't, we need to do it. Think about Jackie Robinson. He was the first African-American Major League Baseball player. Breaking baseball's color barrier, he faced angry crowds in every stadium. While playing one day in his home stadium in Brooklyn, he committed an error, and the fans began to ridicule him. He stood at second base, humiliated. While the fans yelled, then the shortstop, Pee Wee Reese, came over, stood next to him, put his arm around Jackie Robinson, and faced the crowd. The fans grew quiet. Robinson later said this. He said, that arm around my shoulder saved my career. Who do you need to go and put your arm around right now? Who do you know that's just having a rough time through the loss of a loved one? Who do you know that's just dealing with some stress? Who do you know that's dealing with some job depression? Who do you know that you have a friendship with that you need to put your arm around and help them through this time? Because I bet that we all have somebody like that. So we need to stand with them when others don't. But we need to stand with them when we need them too. We need to stand with them when we need them too. Ruth chapter 1, verse 17. It's a beautiful story. One of my favorite about friendship is Jonathan and David, but then also Ruth and Naomi is a great story here, and I love this. You see, Naomi here loses her husband, but then she also loses her two sons, and one of those is Ruth's husband. And so Ruth is now free to go and to remarry, to go wherever she wants to go and to get away. She's not from the same land. She's not from the same place that Naomi is from. But Ruth doesn't say that. This is what Ruth responds with. Where you die, I will die. And there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also if anything but death parts me from you. What a beautiful friendship to say that even though she was free to go, she stayed because she loved Naomi. And what's interesting about this passage of scripture is you see the great grandparents of King David come through this. And so when you see friendships in David and Jonathan, it makes sense because you saw a friendship in Ruth and Naomi. But the poet Ralph Waldo Emerson said this. He said, the glory of friendship is not in the outstretched hand, not in the kindly smile, nor in the joy of companionship. It is in the spiritual inspiration that comes to one when he discovers that someone else believes in him and is willing to trust him. Do you have someone who believes in you right now? Do you have a godly friend in you who believes in you, who is with you? Or do you just have people telling you everything you want to hear? Or telling you everything that they think that you ought to hear? Or just appeasing you? But do you have people that you can trust in your life? And so if you're a teenager, would you say your friends that you have, that your parents would approve of them? If you're working, would you say that your spouse would approve of the friends that you hang around? The friends that you have matters. It matters. It's important. Why does it matter? Because think of what it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 10. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has no other to lift him up. So that's why you don't stand alone. That's why godly friendship isn't about being alone. That's why the church was created, that we would be a body of believers. And so the third point of this about godly friendships is that we don't stand alone. One day there was a farmer who grabbed a shotgun to shoot a flock of pesky crows. Unfortunately, he didn't see his sociable parrot that had joined the crows. After firing a few shots, he walked over to the fallen birds and was surprised to find his parrot badly ruffled with a broken wing. When the farmer's children saw the injured bird, they asked, Dad, what happened? The farmer simply replied, bad company. Proverbs 18:24 says this, A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Do you have that friend in your life? Do you have that person in your life? Brings us to point three. Godly friends love one another. Godly friends love one another. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 1. We're kind of going backwards in the story, but at the very beginning, 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 1. As soon as he finished speaking to Saul, this is David, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. This was the start of their friendship. This was the start of their friendship when Jonathan received this amazing impression of what David had done. And he says, listen, Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And through their friendship, you see that, how they stuck together. And the truth is, if you have godly friendships, you need friends that you need to love. That's our first thing today, is you need friends you need to love. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all time, and a brother is born out of adversity. If you have a brother in here, maybe that's true for you. But friendship is an important relationship, and God has designed it for a reason and a purpose. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18 says, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. Why is that? Well, because friendship is important to our relationships. Friendship is an important relationship. Point B, friendship is an important relationship we have to think about in our life. See, we need friends who are going to love us, but why we need godly friends to love one another is because friendship is an important relationship. It's a relationship that we want to have. It's a relationship that we're going to need. It's a relationship that we should seek out. But we should not seek out a worldly relationship, but a God-honoring relationship in our friendship. But honestly, why do godly friends love one another? Well, it's point C. It's what Jesus does. If Jesus is our example, if Jesus came to set how we are supposed to live, if Jesus is the perfect example for us and we are supposed to follow after Jesus, then Jesus loves his friends. How do you know that? Well, man, have you ever read how much he put up with Peter? Gosh. No wonder Peter became an elder. That's a joke. Come on, I'm laughing. A joke. I love the elders. Gosh. Think about this. Jesus loved Judas, right? Jesus let him be there for 3.5 years of his ministry to see the miracles. John 15:13 says this, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. See, there's one thing that made Jesus so special. He always kept his promises. He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Jesus promised that he would seek and to save what's lost. And aren't you glad he came to seek and save what's lost? Because we've been lost. And some of us may still be lost. But he seeks us even though that we've fallen into sin. He comes to redeem us. He comes to heal us, that we've become crippled, that he could lift us up. And he has the power and the right to destroy us. But in this, his promise is that he came not into this world to condemn it, but to save it. That effort to save us cost us the price of his own blood shed on the cross. So greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. We are blessed people, amen? We are so blessed. We are so blessed. Let me just talk for just a moment away from my manuscript, and I know my time's getting to where I need to go, right, Eric? And I need to finish up, but let me just say this. This church is blessed. This church has been a blessing. There are many in you who, just this week, I don't know if it was God's providential plan, I'm sure it was, that just shared with me about things in life that happened and how when it went down, Jim Hutchison was right there to cry with you, not to judge you, not to put you down, but to love you. Others of you told me about how your life group came when you had a medical problem and how they were there with food. Others of you shared with me about how Kim and Jennifer, for years, have gathered in the prayer room downstairs and and prayers that they've prayed for you. Others in here have said just about what has changed their life by going on a mission trip to Haiti, to Guatemala with Carl. We're blessed people. This church has been a blessing to so many. And I believe it still can. I believe it still should. I believe that's what we want to do. And the truth is that we've got a mission still. Because I don't hear a trumpet, and I don't see a white horse. So he's not back yet, but he may be today, but he's not back yet. So let's be the mission. Let's go to the mission field, and let's share the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Let's share that. Let's continue to love on people through the way we live. Let's continue to share the message of hope. Let's continue to share the gospel. And if you think you can't do it, then you've got the greatest story in the world to tell, and it's your testimony. And by just sharing your testimony, you can share what God's been doing through your life. So what are godly friendships? They're something the world needs. They're something the church needs. How do we have them? Well, three things. We'll go back to this as we end. Godly friends tell the truth. Godly friends stand with you. And godly friends love one another. John chapter 13, verse 35, Jesus says, "By this, by the way you love one another, they will know that you are my disciples." Some of you in here may be here today and thinking, how in the world did Mitchell know what's going on in my life? Did my wife call him this week? Did my friend email him? Did I put too much on the Connect card last week? Is he stalking my Facebook? Well, the truth is, I don't know what's going on, but the truth is that God's been working on my heart, and hopefully he's been leading you, and that we've entered into this place, we've entered into his house to worship him, and that everything that was done today was supposed to be done to bring glory to God. And when we open our heart and we allow him to work, then sometimes he begins to come in. But here's the thing. We have to let him in. We have to open the door. We can't just open the door and take a couple of things we want. We have to open the door and let him in and let him remodel. Let him take control of it. And so there may be some in here today that need to accept Jesus for the first time. There may be some in here today that need to say they need to be a part of this church body. There may be some in here today that have a prayer request, and the elders and myself and Don and Carl are all going to be available at the end of service, and any person would love to pray for you. Maybe you just have had a rough time with friends, or you've just had a rough time with some of the friendships that you thought were godly that weren't. Here's what I want you to know, is that we'll be up here to meet you as Kevin gets ready to lead us in a time of response, a time of invitation. And it is a time of response. It's a time for us to focus on what God wants from us and what God desires. And he just wants us to give him praise with our life. He wants us to commit to his mission. And that's to go out into all the world to seek and save what's lost. He's already done the work. We just share the message. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for my friend Jim Hutchison, for his faithful words, his blessing he's been to this church. Lord, thank you for the elders of this church. Thank you for the prayers that they prayed this morning for the church. Thank you for the friendships that I have. Thank you for Dan. Thank you for Ron. God, thank you for Robert and Bruce. God, and Bob, all the elders, Lord, thank you for them and the fact that they love you and they love this church. Lord, thank you for the deacons, God, who want to serve you. Thank you for this worship team. Thank you for the youth sponsors, God. Thank you for all the many godly friendships you have put in my life. And Lord, there is not a man probably more blessed in here than me to have such great friends. But Lord, thank you so much for the greatest friend, who is Jesus Christ. And thank you that he will never leave us, never forsake us. But God, he is always there for us. And so Lord, we pray this morning that if there's somebody in here who doesn't know Jesus, that we just tell them about the best friend in the world, our best friend. Lord, we love you. We thank you. And Lord, we just ask that you just continue to watch over us, continue to guide us, continue to help us to follow after you. Lord, that's all we want, is to give you praise. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.